We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Topic number three today is going to talk about the wide receivers. The receiving question has been, the receiving discussion has been interesting because you literally cannot bring up anything about the wide receiver core without somebody rightfully and justifiably saying, I'll believe it when I see it. And so I want you guys to understand, I'm going to tell you that that is not the stance you should have. Kind of been fun, but I also want to make sure you understand, I get it. I completely understand it. We've been here before is a response. We thought this guy was going to break out last year. I thought Tobias was going to break out last year. He had a great spring. I thought this guy was going to break. I thought that, you know, Lorenzo Styles in 2022. But there's a reason why this is different. And I'm going to dive into it. And I'm going to talk about why talking about what has happened in the past isn't really relevant to this group and why we should evaluate this group for what it is and this staff for what it is. And what's the end result? What's the end game? To convince you guys that you should be really excited about this receiving core and about what they're going to do in 2024, because there's a reason to be excited about it. And I understand the reasons not to be. I get there. But the fun I'm going to have today is kind of breaking down why you should be excited about it and why we should all be able to look at it. And so, to me, let's start off first and foremost with it's a different staff. And the staff that's there now, it's about track record, right? What's the reason a lot of you understandably have I believe when I see it, thoughts on receiver? It's because of what you've seen. It's because of what last year happened. It's because of 20, you know, we thought this guy was going to be good. We thought, you know, Deion had a great spring last year, and then he ended up, you know, not panning out. So Jaden Thomas was supposed to break out, and then he got hurt. And then Greathouse starts off great. Then he gets hurt. And then, you know, and then Tobias Merriweather has a really good spring. And then he kind of doesn't really do what he needs to do. And so there's all these expectations. 2022, Lorenzo Styles finished the 2021 year. Good note, had 100 yards against Oklahoma State. You know, he's ready to break out. And then he doesn't. And it's just kind of been every year. We've seen this. Like, well, we thought this guy was going to be really good, but it didn't pan out. We thought this guy was going to be there. Didn't really pan out. And the receiving core, if we're going to be honest, has been a problem for the last 3 years, really. I mean, even Kevin Austin, who put up really good numbers in 2021, struggled in some big games, struggled in some certain moments where if you could press, he was going to have a tougher game. you know, I don't think did really hardly anything against Cincinnati in 2021. So it's one of those things where it just, even when the numbers have been good, they haven't been impact players. You know, again, looking at Kevin Austin, big game against Wisconsin, big game against Virginia Tech, sandwich right in between there, Cincinnati, one catch for 17 yards, couldn't get open, couldn't get separation. And, you know, it just wasn't what you'd hoped he would be. Javon McKinley, really good senior year, plays really well against Clemson the first time. You know, just opportunities weren't there in some later games. It was a good player, but not that elite big-time player. And then Ben Skoranek was a really nice player, nice comp. But then after that, it's like, what did you have, right? So it's been a while since Notre Dame really had an impact receiving core. I'd actually argue going back to 18 when you had a receiving core, right? 19, you had Chase Claypool was really good, but the receiving core in 18 was really good. You had Chase Claypool, you had Miles Boykin, you had Chris Fink, who was really good that year.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so to me, it's like, okay, it's been a minute. I get it. But here's the thing I'll remind you guys of. Mike Brown wasn't the receivers coach last year. He wasn't the receivers coach in 2022. He wasn't the receivers coach in 2021. He wasn't the receivers coach in 2020 or 19 or 18 or any other time in Notre Dame's history. And you should evaluate it based on the job he's done. I said it when Chancey Stuckey was hired. It's a big risk. Saw some positives in year one. Couldn't build on him. Simply put, he wasn't good enough to be here. Forget all the off-the-field stuff and all the drama and all that ridiculousness. just as a receiver's coach, he wasn't good enough. And so it really comes down to what's the track record of the coach that you hired. When Harry Hiestand got rehired again a couple years ago, why were so many people excited about it? Because of the track record. The O-line was terrible the previous year. In two of the last 3 years, it was subpar. 21, it was terrible. 19, it was subpar. 20 was pretty good. And as we found out, it's because Harry Hiestand spent the entire offseason working with that line and with Chris Watt, who was the GA on that team. But overall, it was disappointing. And so, but he has a track record. He has established himself. When you look at Mike Brown, you say, you don't judge Mike Brown and the receiving coaching on what happened with Chancey Stuckey or Dell Alexander. You judge it on, well, what did he do? He did a pretty good job at Wisconsin last year, but more importantly, he did a very good job developing receivers in Cincinnati. Guys that have as much or less than the guys that are on the roster now. And so you say, okay, that should be the standard by which we judge expectations for the receiving core, not by the job Chancey Stuckey did. That's reason number one. Reason number two, Mike Denbrock wasn't the offensive coordinator last year. Mike Denbrock wasn't the offensive coordinator the year before that. Wasn't the offensive coordinator the year before that. And so to me, he hasn't been the offensive coordinator since when? 15 was the last time he truly controlled the offense. That was a pretty darn good receiving core that he had. And he was the receiver coach then. And also on top of being the offensive coordinator. And then you look at what he did. It was Cincinnati. He's part of him and Mike Brown developing a really good receiving core there. You look on LSU, great receiving core there. He's had talent, but he's gotten the most out of that talent. The production has been there. And so, does Notre Dame have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas on their roster? I don't think so, but they've got really good players. And to me, that's kind of where I look at it and say, that's what you should be judging the coaching off of. It's what they did, not what Chancey Stuckey and Dell Alexander did. That's point number one. Because the counter to that is, yeah, but you don't have this, 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 and this as players. That's my second point. It's a very fair comeback. What I was getting ready to say earlier when I was talking about Jaden Greathouse, that has me so excited about the receiving corps, because I could have talked about 8 or 9 different guys breaking out. Guys, last spring, I don't even think they had 8 or 9 receivers on scholarship, much less guys ready to break out. And half those guys were freshmen. It's just a different era at Notre Dame, because you have to evaluate the roster on what they've done. Who are the returners from Notre Dame? Well, Jaden Thomas, proven player, steady player, has done some really good things. And then Jaden Greathouse, pretty good freshman year. Jordan Faison, pretty good freshman year. Those are your returners. You didn't have that kind of proven experience last year. This year you do. Then you also welcome in 2 really talented freshmen. And so when you look at the rest of the receiving core and you look at the transfer portal, you talk about a guy last year, Notre Dame was bringing in a guy in from Virginia Tech, Caleb Smith, who was a nice, solid player. We thought could give some depth. If Deion Colsey gets hurt or whatever, he could help you out a little bit. Guy that had 37 catches for 674 yards, 3 touchdowns as a senior, and had not done a ton prior to that. Nice player, right? Just good, steady guy, good ball skills, not great separation. You liked what you saw from him. Well, you're not going to get that this spring from Bo Collins, but guys, let's be honest about it. Bo Collins was a better player at Clemson than Caleb Smith was at Virginia Tech. Same league. His numbers weren't quite the same because he was not the number one guy, but Bo Collins last year, 38 catches, 510 yards, 3 touchdowns. Year before that, Bo had 22 catches for 373 yards. And if you went back and watched him play, he started the season off really well before getting hurt. 2021, Bo finished the year off really well as a freshman, caught 31 passes for 407 yards as a true freshman that season. Had over 100 yards in 2 of the last 3 games. He had over 100 yards in a game at Louisville and had over 100 yards in a game at Wake Forest. So Bo Collins comes to Notre Dame with 3 career 100 receiving yard games under his belt. Guys, that's more than the rest of the roster has combined. The rest of the roster has 1, right? 1 100-yard game. I think Jordan Faison had that in the bowl game, right? That's not even your top transfer based on expectations, right? Your top transfer is a kid in Chris Smith, Chris Mitchell. And I've heard it. I've heard the comments on him. Well, he played at a smaller school. All right, cool. But you can't dismiss the fact that this kid caught 64 passes last year for 1,118 yards and six touchdowns. You say, well, he played in, you know, was it Conference USA? All right, cool. That's a fair comeback. Very fair. Well, he did play one game last year on the road against an SEC team. He had six catches for 157 yards and looked like he belonged on that field. And so that's just the transfers. I'm going to talk about Jaden Harrison, who didn't really do a ton there. It's about the talent is much greater. The skill set is far more diverse. You've got big guys like Bo Collins and Deion Colsey and Jane Thomas that are more physical presences. You've got the outside vertical speed guys like Chris Mitchell and Cam Williams. Jaden Greathouse can do some of that. You've got slot guys. Jaden Greathouse can do that as well, but you've got Jordan Faison. You've got KK Smith. You've got Jaden Harrison. Micah Gilbert's another outside guy. Whereas last year, it was like Tobias. And, you know, once Deion got hurt, especially, it was Tobias and then Jaden for like a week. And then it was just Tobias and everybody else was a slot. And so there's so much greater talent diversity. But the other part too is in 2023, if Tobias Merriweather doesn't break out, the receiving core can't come close to reaching its full potential. He didn't, and it didn't. In 2022, if Lorenzo Styles doesn't break out, your receiving core can't reach its full potential. He didn't, and it didn't. 2021, if Kevin Austin doesn't reach his full potential, you're going to have some problems at receiving core, in your receiving core. He didn't, and it didn't. There's a difference with this group. If Jaden Thomas gets hurt again, I hope it doesn't happen, but it doesn't have the devastating effect that it had last year. If we have the same thing that happens last year and Deion Colsey and Jaden Thomas get hurt again, you're different now because then you had to move Jaden Greathouse over. Now you've got Bo Collins. You've got Micah Gilbert. You have an older Jaden Greathouse. If Tobias, the version of Tobias doesn't pan out last year, if Tobias doesn't pan out, you had to turn to Rico Flores in the field. And he was not ready to be the player they tried to make him to be. Couldn't separate, was great blocker, but just kind of a mediocre pass catcher. And you saw it against the better teams in the schedule. He just couldn't get open unless it was designed. It was a design against a zone scheme, right? Just wasn't ready for that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, if Chris Mitchell doesn't break out, who's far more established than Tobias Merriweather, who came in last year with one catch. And again, guys, I'm still high on Tobias Merriweather. I stand by everything I said about him, his talent, and the reason he didn't break out. Some of it was on him. Some of it wasn't. So this isn't me going back and saying, oh, you know, Deion wasn't that – no, or Tobias wasn't that good. Yes, he was. But he didn't step up, partly on him, partly on others. But here's the thing. If he didn't step up last year, your go-to was Rico, who wasn't ready for that role. Now, if Chris Mitchell doesn't step up, who's far more established than Tobias was coming in last year, who had one career catch, you're now, okay, fine. You've got Cam Williams, who's a far better freshman talent than Rico Flores was. You've got Jaden Greathouse. You've got KK Smith. You have Micah Gilbert. there's more options. Same with slot. Chris Tyree was your slot last year. He was a pretty good player. Well, you know, what if he got hurt? Who you turn to Jordan Faison? He was pretty good. Jaden Greathouse, pretty good, right? So you saw what happened in the slot when you had more than one guy. Didn't matter who was in there. Jaden Greathouse produced when he was in there. Jordan Faison produced when he was in there. Chris Tyree produced when he was in there. Notre Dame got close to 1,000 yards receiving from the slot last year. If you go back and look at the numbers, the three guys that made up the slot position were close to 1,000 yards. They actually might have gone over 1,000 yards, but I know one of Jaden's big plays late in the year came with him lined up outside. That big touchdown against Wake was against when he was outside. But the margin for error piece is really important. And again, I haven't even talked about Logan Soldate. So I think that's another factor of why I think it should be really viewed differently, because there's not the same. Like last year, this time we had different varying debates about Tobias Merriweather. Some were higher on him like I was. Others weren't high on him. Didn't think he was that good. Others were like, yeah, I think he's got some talent, but, which was a fair take. But it was one of those things where we all could agree that if Tobias doesn't step up, it's going to be a huge problem for the receiving core. We could all agree to that. If this Chris Tyree transition, this is what we felt at the time, it ended up being better than we thought. But if the Chris Tyree transition doesn't work out, I don't know what the slot's going to look like. Because a year ago at this time, we didn't have expectations for Jordan Faison. IB was high on Jordan Faison as a walk-on. Ryan and I were talking about that today because we had him on our signing day show. Not in a million years did we see him doing what he did as a freshman. We thought maybe he could be that as a junior or senior, but not as a freshman. And so there's a lot of angst that if this guy doesn't do this, if Deion Colsey 2 years ago doesn't break out in 2022, and he didn't, played well late, but didn't, you had no big guy. You had nobody with size that could help step up. There was such a thin margin for error that anybody not panning out was going to crush you. Because here's the reality. Somebody at this receiving core is going to get hurt. Somebody amongst this receiving core is not going to be as good as we think they're going to be. Somebody's not going to take well to the system or do this or do that. There's going to be something, multiple somethings that are going to happen because this is football and that's what happens. That's the way it goes. But the reason that that should not at all change the optimism is because there's so much greater talent on the roster. And that's kind of what has me excited. You've got proven receiver developers. Mike Denbrock proved that he can produce big time receiving cores. He's done it at three places, including Notre Dame. He developed a very strong receiving core in 2015. He developed a very strong receiving core at Cincinnati as the coordinator. And then he developed a really good receiving core at LSU. Mike Brown produced a very good receiving core at Cincinnati and was developing that at Wisconsin. One of the funny things about Wisconsin last year is, you know, their receiving core was okay, but their best receiver last year was a kid that he brought over from Cincinnati, which I thought was, it was a kid he brought from Cincinnati. Will Pauling was a kid he brought up from Cincinnati. And, you know, Will Pauling was a kid that at Cincinnati the year before caught 12 passes for 122 yards. And then the year before that, one catch for 6 yards. But Mike Brown developed him. He comes over to Wisconsin and in the Big Ten catches 74 passes for 337 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's development. That's what receiver development does. And so, you know, you look at the kid, the kid from Wisconsin was a good player, or Oklahoma State, that was a good player. But he did a really nice job of getting players that he had developed at another place and turning them into good football players last year. That's what he did. And so look at what he did at Cincinnati with the group they had a couple years ago with Alec Pierce and Tyler Scott and Trey Tucker, you know, those guys that he developed, guys that he had produced. And so to me, when I look at what he has done, look, the track record is there. And so when you combine that track record with the talent, with the depth of talent, it should give you a reason to be excited about this group and not say, well, I got to see it. The whole I got to see it thing, guys, that's very true at everywhere. That's totally fair. but it shouldn't sap your excitement because, again, this isn't Chancey Stuckey's room. This isn't Del Alexander's room. This is Mike Brown's room. This is Mike Denbrock's room. And you have to expect a level of improved production because that's what they've done. That's the track record they have, is taking rooms and getting the most out of them. They've proven it. The other part is the competition. And this is something that has me excited as well. And I got a super chat about the receiving core that I will answer before we move on to the final piece. But I believe that in the past there was a problem with competition because you just didn't have enough people there. So this guy knew he was going to play. That guy knew he was going to play. There were certain attitudes that had to be kind of catered to because you had to. And if I punish this guy for his attitude, then guess what? I don't have any receivers. I don't have anybody who can play. That's not the case this year. There's much more of a, you better step up or this guy's going to beat you out. Or I'm fine. You want to have that attitude? Go sit over there. You get in and you get in, right? And you get in. You're my three-man rotation now. That's a huge thing. The other part of the rotation that has me excited, or competition has me excited, is, you know, there's two types of competition. And I'm talking about not of a human being, but of a group, right? A receiving core. There's internal competition, which I just talked about, right? Like at every single position, X, Z, slot, all three of those spots, there is competition. If this guy doesn't play well, like if Chris Mitchell doesn't make the transition we need him to, there's Cam Williams, there's Jaden Greathouse, there's KK Smith. You could move Jaden Thomas over there easily. You could move Bo Collins over there easily. He's got to step up or he won't play. If Jaden Thomas doesn't step up in the boundary, then you've got Deion Colsey. You've got Bo Collins ready to play there in the fall. You've got Micah Gilbert that can play that position. And Cam Williams is much more prepared to play that position as a true freshman than Jaden Greathouse was because he's taller, he's thicker, and he's faster. So you could even put Cam over there if you needed to. And I was surprised at how big Cam Williams was. That was one of the things that surprised me first day of spring practice. Like, that kid's a lot bigger than I thought he was going to be. So same thing with the slot. If Jaden Greathouse doesn't step up in the slot, you've got Jordan Faison. You've got Jaden Harrison. KK Smith could also play the slot. And I still think that's Jaden Thomas's best position. And so in the past, if this guy didn't play well, not only were you in trouble with that position, your receiving core as a whole was a problem. And that's the biggest, besides the change in coaching, that right there, that internal competition is the biggest change because of that depth. The second part of competition is external competition. And I'm not talking so much about your opponents, which is important, but I really feel like the best external competition for a receiver, and this is from my experience, is when you are getting challenged every single day in practice by the guys that are trying to cover you. That is huge. And I've been to some places. When I was at Duquesne, it was this way. When I was at Christopher Newport, it was this way, where, man, we had so many great battles in practice. I mean, there were times that, I mean, I'll tell you this, my time at Christopher Newport, my receivers never played a better cornerback than the kid they went against every day in practice in one-on-ones in 707 and Rob Rodriguez. Never played a better kid than Rob in a game. Never. When I was at Duquesne, I don't know that we ever played a better duo at cornerback than the two kids we had. It was Michael Bell. I can't remember Kyle's last name, but we had two kids at corner that were pretty good players. And then some young guys were pretty good there too. But we got tested every single day. And there were days they kicked our butts and days we kicked their butts. But it made us so much better on Saturdays. And so not only do you now have the internal competition at your position, and of course there's individual competition, like, you know, hey, I have a drive to be great. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more group-wise. There's that internal competition at each position, but then that external competition where, okay, how do I know that the boundary is going to be good because they're making plays against Benjamin Morrison? How do I know that Chris Mitchell is going to be a good player, or that Chris or Cam Williams or KK Smith or whoever, because they got to go make plays against Christian Gray. They got to go make plays against Jaden Mickey. They got to go make plays against Xavier Watts in certain situations. They got to make plays in the slot against Jordan Clark and Micah Bell and Clarence Thomas and who are talented players and or proven players. And so when you start thinking about that, if the receivers are playing well, there's a greater confidence that, hey, they're going to be pretty good because of who they're playing. If they're not necessarily playing great, it's kind of like, well, this is good for them because they're having to learn that lame, like, press release move that your coach taught you in drills ain't going to fly, because every time you try it against Benjamin Morrison, you get jammed. Every time you try this double move thing against Christian Gray, it doesn't work because he's, you know, he's this. And it makes you better because you got to go back to the lab at that point in time and say, okay, tried this out. It's not working. This guy gets me every time. What do I got to do? What do I got to do with my top ends to finally get some separation against this guy? Okay, I got to get better here. I got to get better there. And it just makes you so much better as a player. And then it makes your group so much better. And you start to get some camaraderie because instead of battling against each other for starting jobs, you're now battling against them. And so when you do have that success, you have it. And one of my favorite parts, though, of the first practice was when they made a big play down the field. And Mike Denbrock was like, get back in the huddle. We do that all the time here now. And it was such a great comment because it's like, hey, we're raising the bar. We're raising the bar here. I don't want you guys to get excited because you made a play down the field. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, and it was such a great comment because it's an attitude change. And that's partly why Mike Denbrock is successful. It's partly why Mike Brown is successful. His attention, the attention to detail he showed, it's just one practice, guys. But I'm telling you, I've been at Bowling Green when Urban Meyer and his staff was there. I've watched Urban Meyer coach receivers. I've been at Notre Dame. I've been at Maryland. I've been a lot of different places working with Division I coaches and seeing how they practice. And I don't know that I've ever seen anyone pay more attention to detail with receivers than probably Urban Meyer is the only person I've ever seen work with receivers that just paid more attention to detail than just that one practice I saw from Mike Brown. It was impressive. I mean, just every little detail. And that's, for me, that's what I believe in. I mean, I think that is so important for receivers in any kind of offense, but especially this one. And that's something that has me very excited about what this group can be. Because you have that internal and external competition, and then you have people leading it that have the proven experience of saying, hey, we can get the most out of you. And that's what I'm excited. That's why I'm excited. That's why you should be excited. It doesn't mean that you don't have some level of, I got to see it first, right? I get that. I completely understand that. We need to see it with a lot of things. But it's okay to allow yourself to be excited about it. And that's kind of the point of this conversation, because this isn't the same situation. It's not, we've been here before. No, we haven't, because we've never seen Mike Brown coach receivers at Notre Dame. We've never seen Chris Mitchell at Notre Dame. We've never seen Cam Williams at Notre Dame, or Bo Collins at Notre Dame, or Jane Harrison at Notre Dame, or Micah Gilbert at Notre Dame. You know, we've never seen that. We've never seen the sophomore version of Jaden Greathouse. We've never seen Mike Denbrock with this kind of players, you know, or this with Mike Brown at Notre Dame. The point I was making is that we've seen Mike Brown produce. We've seen Mike Denbrock produce at Notre Dame. So the people that are in charge of producing are not the people we saw fail in the past. There are people that have succeeded, and there's no reason to think that they can't or won't succeed again here. If the talent is there and the coaching is there and the system is there, which it all is there, then there's a reason to be excited. And I think you all should be excited. Going to move next onto the NIL conversation. But before we do, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. And if you have not done so, sign up for the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.